Good morning, everybody. It is Tuesday, 13th of April, and I am back from Marimbula, and I think I caught the best of the weather over Easter, just before the Victorian cold snap set in. Glad to be back at work, and back at work at the new office. I have also utilised my new Fitness First membership, or Fitness Last, as one of my friends calls it. We'll see how long that lasts, shall we? Although it's probably going to last longer than Emma's detox diet. Let's see how long she can hold out with no caffeine, alcohol, or chocolate. No chance. Anyway, a few observations from the last week or so. I've been away. It's still a bull market. Almost no reason to question that at the moment. Our market's up 33% in the last year, and in April alone, it is up 3.83%. That might not seem like a lot to you, but when you consider that the average All Ordinaries return, compound return over the last 75 years is 5.77%, then you can see that the pandemic and its recovery has been a remarkable opportunity to make and lose money. And as I've written before, and you'll see in one of our monthly articles, these sort of market events have to be seen as opportunity rather than disaster. And it certainly has been an opportunity. And the opportunity continues. So market up 3.83% in the last month. We are still 2.8% below the pandemic peak. So arguably, for those of you who are plagued by a natural mean reversion assumption, in other words, what goes up goes down and what goes down goes up, then the fact that we are still below our pre-pandemic peak rather takes the scariness out of the 33% rise over the last year. The US is doing even better than us. The S&P 500 is up 51% in the last year and is hitting all-time highs and is up 21.7% since the pre-pandemic, so has significantly outperformed us. That, of course, is because 27% of their market knowledge and 50% of our market is banks and resources. Another observation this morning is that the ASX 200 VIX Volatility Index is at its lowest level since 2018, and even then in 2018 it was only a blip down. We really are relaxing. I do quite like the VIX indicator as a canary in the mine for when there is a sentiment change in the market. Although an index may move a small amount, when the herd changes direction, you see that change, that small change in the index, amplified in the VIX index, and the VIX index will spike at pivot points rather than quietly turn. And I also like the concept that it is a barometer of fear and greed, and when it gets up to its peaks, so in the pandemic it got up to a level of 50, over 50, it is now down to 10.4. It has recently blipped below 8. It is, as I say, lowest level since 2018. The market is very relaxed at the moment, and it is from positions like this that the herd can very easily get spooked. But for the moment, all good. But we have always used the VIX as a sign or an indicator of sentiment turning, and if we do one day get a spike in the VIX, it will be provoking our spidey senses to start thinking about cashing up more. But for the moment, very happy with the market. Another observation over the break has been that as I come back, interest rates have plateaued. Have a look at the charts in the strategy piece. Interest rates are going sideways now, having gone up in that period from January to March. In fact, from November when the vaccine news came in to March, and are now going sideways. And as they do, the technology sector or growth stocks have recovered. The Nasdaq saw a 12.4% correction before I went away. As I come back, it's now recovered 11.9%. So all is very happy-go-lucky in the growth world. And in fact, it's happy-go-lucky almost everywhere. Even sectors like gold, which usually does the opposite of the technology sector, has bottomed recently. Healthcare is looking a little bit healthier. Banks are holding their levels ahead of the results season coming up. Income investors just wouldn't be selling ahead of results in early May. It's less than a month now. And despite some fears about the vaccine mutations. It seems it's more media beat up than market moving. You've got markets like the German market, French market, UK market, who've been hardest hit and slowest to recover, hitting their highs since the pandemic now. Germany higher than it was pre-pandemic. So the markets are telling you that these regular doubts about vaccination rates and mutations are being swept aside by the stock market for the moment. Right, a few stock observations for you. Come back to find Telstra's doing rather well. Prompted to have a look at that by some of the brokers upgrading. Morgan Stanley upgraded recently from overweight to overweight from underweight. Target price of $4. Current share price $3.50. Ord Minnett, UBS, Credit Suisse all have buy recommendations on it as well. Looks like a good low risk income stock, although there's no dividend for quite a time, probably till August. And it's not exactly a growth stock, return on equity 11.3%. But notice that a lot of you will follow Telstra, and it looks like a reasonably safe income stock trending up, so you've found its floor. Another observation is APT's bouncing back. It fell from $160 to below $100. We have been nibbling away at it again in the growth portfolio, now $120, and that's probably a reflection of interest rates plateauing a little bit, and the all tech sector has done the same thing. It fell 20%, 20.5%, it's bounced 17.5%. So growth stocks back on, and I saw a fund manager with an article today saying, is the growth sell-off an opportunity to buy? And the obvious answer at this point, whilst the bull market resumes, is yes. Although the article was more about, you've got to be careful in the growth sector. There are growth stocks, there are growth companies, and then there are pump and dump share prices, which we've seen in the US. Obviously, the Reddit and Twitter driven social media influence has grown enormously this year. Everybody pumps together and then they dump individually. You have to be the first out of the hot potato. Some share prices see unprecedented attention with zero analysis, and share prices are driven these days by leverage options, CFDs, and that leverage has only really recently become available to retail investors. So with the caveat of beware the hot stocks, obviously, as interest rates plateau, the market continues to go up. There has been a sell-off in growth stocks, probably time to have a look again. And one of those in particular today, after mentioning APT, is Z1P, Zip, and that's leading the BNPL sector higher today on the back of their third quarter trading update, talking about robust growth. Most of their metrics are up 10 to 20% in the quarter, 80 to 90% on the year. US growth the highlight. UK and Canada rollouts, we've got to look forward to. Technical buy signals today. Hard to be fundamentally confident about that, but worth mentioning it. Otherwise, a few broker recommendations today. Goldman's have upgraded some of the automobile stocks, APE, BAP, and ARB, although the share prices are pretty ritzy. I've put the charts in the strategy section today. No bargains there. We've done a bit of tinkering in the growth portfolio. We've taken the top off our JB Hi-Fi, JBH holding. It's top of the range. All the numbers are perhaps already discounting, but certainly are suggesting that they are peak earnings at the moment. And we are topping up again. Having sold out recently, we are going to rebuild our holding a bit in Fortescue Metals. Have a look at the chart there. Come back to support. Had a bit of a bounce. Technical buy signal. Iron ore price is up. FMG is down over the last month or two. And we think FMG is likely to close the gap from here. Otherwise, a few more recommendations. Macquarie has significantly upgraded their ORE target price by 145%. Have a look at that chart. And Galaxy Resources, which is a lithium play, two brokers with buy recommendations this morning. Chart looking hot to trot. Right, on the diary, a few things to look out for. There's a bit of a vacuum of corporate news at the moment, although companies, as you'll see from Z1P, came out with quarterly sales numbers today. Companies that have done well or that traditionally put out sales numbers at the end of a quarter are likely to be putting out trading updates. Companies that are doing particularly well are more likely to put out trading updates. Bank of Queensland results are on Thursday. As I say, you've got all the bank results coming up at the beginning of May. And the results season should be good, helped by higher interest rates, earnings upgrades rather than downgrades, some over-provisioning in the pandemic, allowing banks to add back provisions, which creates earnings growth, artificial earnings growth. There's a very healthy housing market. market at the moment, a much easier regulatory backdrop, and a hopefully more optimistic outlook anyway, all to look forward to with the bank results season and the bank sector continues to hold up. Brokers seem to think, as they always do, that CBA is expensive and the other banks are cheap, and the other banks are the banks with results. Anyway, we'll see what Bank of Queensland has to say on Thursday. Another little signpost is Chinese GDP numbers for the first quarter out on Friday. Fairly important, but unlikely to disappoint. There is, of course, always skepticism about a country like China being able to add up all its GDP constituents to come out with a first quarter GDP number 2 weeks after the end of the quarter, whilst the rest of the Western world takes at least 6 weeks, if not 8 weeks, to come out with their GDP numbers. And that skepticism suggests the numbers are more politics than factual, but who knows? Anyway, Chinese trade numbers are today, GDP numbers on Friday. They also have industrial production, retail sales and unemployment numbers on Friday. Australian jobs numbers are on Thursday. Not really sure that's a market mover. We may think it is, and the media may write some, even put it on the front page, may write some column inches this week, but I don't think New York institutions are going to be selling their Apple shares on the back of the Australian jobs numbers. And finally, the US has CPI inflation numbers tonight. They are a potential risk for the market if inflation is suddenly seen to accelerate, but the market doesn't seem to be worrying about it. Some institutions might go risk off, in other words, sell ahead of big numbers being released. No real evidence of that. Right, Dow Jones overnight was down 55. Forgot to mention that. Futures this morning were up 15. We've been up 24. We're up 7 at the moment. BHP, Rio and the banks literally unchanged. Resources may be down a little bit. We've got APT up 3%. Z1P up 8.9%. Split it up 10.3%. Strong showing from the BNPL sector. Net wealth up 3.6% on the back of that upgrade from Macquarie. A2 Milk showing an interesting buy signal, intraday buy signal today. It's been going down relentlessly. It's up 5.1% today. Haven't caught that story yet. And that's about it. As I leave you, Dow Futures not telling us much, up 14 points. You have yourself a fabulous day, and I will speak to you tomorrow.